On Ratapala, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was wandering in the Kuru country with a large sangha of bhikkhus, and eventually he arrived at a Kuru town named Tulakotita. The Brahmin householders of Tulakotita heard, "The recluse Gotama, the son of the Sakyans who went forth from a Sakyan clan, has been wandering in the Kuru country with a large sangha of bhikkhus, and has come to Tulakotita." Now a good report of Master Gotama has been spread to this effect. That Blessed One is accomplished, fully enlightened, perfect in true knowledge and conduct, sublime, knower of worlds, incomparable leader of persons to be tamed, teacher of gods and humans, enlightened, blessed. He declares this world with its gods, its Maras and its Brahmas, this generation with its recluses and Brahmins, its princes and its people, which he has himself realized with direct knowledge. He teaches the Dhamma good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, with the right meaning and phrasing, and he reveals a holy life that is utterly perfect and pure. Now it is good to see such arahants. Then the Brahmin householders of Tulakotita went to the Blessed One. Some paid homage to the Blessed One and sat down at one side. Some exchanged greetings with him, and when this courteous and amiable talk was finished, sat down at one side. Some extended their hands in reverential salutation towards the Blessed One and sat down at one side. Some pronounced their name and clan in the Blessed One's presence and sat down at one side. Some kept silent and sat down at one side. When they were seated, the Blessed One instructed, urged, roused, and gladdened them with a talk on the Dhamma. Now at that time, a clansman named Ratapala, the son of the leading clan in that same Tulakotita, was sitting in the assembly. Then it occurred to him, "As I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it is not easy while living in a home to lead the holy life, utterly perfect and pure as a polished shell. Suppose I shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness." Then the Brahmin householders of Tulakotita, having been instructed, urged, roused, and gladdened by the Blessed One with talk on the Dhamma, delighted and rejoiced in his words. They then rose from their seats, and after paying homage to him, they departed, keeping him on their right. Soon after they had gone, the clansman Ratapala went to the Blessed One, and after paying homage to him, he sat down at one side and said to the Blessed One, "Venerable Sir, as I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it's not easy while living in a home to lead the holy life, utterly perfect and pure as a polished shell. Venerable Sir, I wish to shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness. I would receive the going forth under the Blessed One. I would receive the full admission." "Have you been permitted by your parents, Ratapala, to go forth from the home life into homelessness?" "No, Venerable Sir, I have not been permitted by my parents." Ratapala, "Tathagatas do not give the going forth to anyone who does not have his parents' permission." "Venerable Sir, I shall see to it that my parents permit me to go forth from the home life into homelessness." Then the clansman Ratapala rose from his seat, and after paying homage to the Blessed One, he departed, keeping him on his right. He went to his parents and told them, "Mother and father, as I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it is not easy while living in a home to lead the holy life, utterly perfect and pure as a polished shell. I wish to shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness. Give me permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness." When he had said this, his parents replied, "Dear Ratapala, you are our only son, dear and beloved. You have been raised in comfort, brought up in comfort, you know nothing of suffering, dear Ratapala. Even in case of your death, we would lose you unwillingly. So how could we give you our permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? For the second time, for the third time, the clansman Ratapala said to his parents, Mother and father, give me permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness. For the third time, his parents replied, Dear Ratapala, how could we give you our permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? Then, not receiving his parents' permission to go forth, the clansman Ratapala lay down there on the bare floor, saying, Right here, I shall either die or receive the going forth. Then the clansman Ratapala's parents said to him, Dear Ratapala, you are our only son, dear and beloved. You have been raised in comfort, brought up in comfort. You know nothing of suffering, dear Ratapala. Get up, dear Ratapala, eat, drink, and amuse yourself. While eating and drinking and amusing yourself, you can be happy enjoying sensual pleasures and making merit. We do not permit you to go forth from the home life into homelessness. Even in the case of your death, we would lose you unwillingly, so how could we give you our permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? When this was said, the clansman Ratapala was silent. For the second time, for the third time, his parents said to him, Dear Ratapala, how could we give you our permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? For the third time, the clansman Ratapala was silent. Then the clansman Ratapala's parents went to his friends and said to them, Dears, the clansman Ratapala has laid down on the bare floor, having said, Right here I shall either die or receive the going forth. Come, dears, go to the clansman Ratapala and say to him, Friend Ratapala, you are your parents' only son. Get up, friend Ratapala, eat, drink, and amuse yourself. How could your parents give you their permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? Then the clansman Ratapala's friends went to him and said, Friend Ratapala, you are your parents' only son, dear and beloved. You have been raised in comfort, brought up in comfort. You know nothing of suffering, friend Ratapala. Get up, friend Ratapala, eat, drink, and amuse yourself. While eating, drinking, and amusing yourself, you can be happy, enjoying sensual pleasures and making merit. Your parents do not permit you to go forth from the home life into homelessness. Even in case of your death, they would lose you unwillingly. So how could they give you their permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? When this was said, the clansman Ratapala was silent. For the second time, for the third time, his friends said to him, Friend Ratapala, how could they give you their permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness while you are still living? For the third time, the clansman Ratapala was silent. Then the clansman Ratapala's friends went to his parents and said to them, Mother and father, the clansman Ratapala is lying down there on the bare floor, having said, Right here I shall either die or receive the going forth. Now if you do not give him your permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness, he will die there. But if you give him your permission, you will see him after he has gone forth. And if he does not enjoy the going forth, what else can he do then but return here? So give him your permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness. Then, dears, we give the clansman Ratapala permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness. But when he has gone forth, he must visit his parents. Then the clansman Ratapala's friends went to him and told him, Get up, friend Ratapala. Your parents permit you to go forth from the home life into homelessness. But when you have gone forth, you must visit your parents. The clansman Ratapala then got up. And when he had regained his strength, he went to the Blessed One, and after paying homage to him, he sat down at one side and told him, "Venerable sir, I have my parents' permission to go forth from the home life into homelessness. Let the Blessed One give me the going forth." Then the clansman Ratapala received the going forth under the Blessed One, and he received the full admission. Then, not long after the Venerable Ratapala had received the full admission, a half month after he had received the full admission, the Blessed One, having stayed at Tulakatita as long as he chose, set out to wander towards Sarvati. Wandering by stages, he eventually arrived at Sarvati, and there he lived at Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, Anatta Pindika's park. Before long, dwelling alone, withdrawn, diligent, ardent, and resolute, the Venerable Ratapala, by realizing for himself with direct knowledge, here and now, entered upon and abided in that supreme goal of the holy life for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. He directly knew birth is destroyed, the holy life has been lived, what had to be done has been done. There is no more coming to any state of being. And the Venerable Ratapala became one of the Arahants. Then the Venerable Ratapala went to the Blessed One, and after paying homage to him, he sat down at one side and told him, "Venerable Sir, I wish to visit my parents, if I have the Blessed One's permission." Then the Blessed One penetrated mentally the thoughts in Venerable Ratapala's mind. When he knew that the clansman Ratapala was incapable of abandoning the training and returning to the low life, he told him, "You may go, Ratapala, at your own convenience." Then the Venerable Ratapala rose from his seat, and after paying homage to the Blessed One, he departed, keeping him on his right. He then set his resting place in order, and taking his bowl and outer robe, set out to wander towards Tulakatita. Wandering by stages, he eventually arrived at Tulakatita. There he lived in Tulakatita, in King Karavya's Migachira garden. Then, when it was morning, he dressed, and taking his bowl and outer robe, went into Tulakatita for alms. As he was wandering for alms from house to house in Tulakatita, he came to his own father's house. Now on that occasion, the Venerable Ratapala's father was sitting in the hall of the central door, having his hair dressed. When he saw the Venerable Ratapala coming in the distance, he said, "Our only son, dear and beloved, was made to go forth by these bald, pated recluses." Then at his own father's house, the Venerable Ratapala received neither alms nor a polite refusal. Instead, he received only abuse. Just then, a slave woman belonging to one of his relatives was about to throw away some old porridge. Seeing this, the Venerable Ratapala said to her, "Sister, if that stuff is to be thrown away, then pour it into my bowl here." While she was doing so, she recognized the characteristic features of his hands, his feet, and his voice. Then she went to his mother and said, "Please know, my lady, that my lord's son Ratapala has arrived." "Gracious, if what you say is true, you are no longer a slave." Then the Venerable Ratapala's mother went to his father and said, "Please know, householder, they say that the clansman Ratapala has arrived." Just then the Venerable Ratapala was eating the old porridge by the wall of a certain shelter. His father went to him and said, "Ratapala, my dear, surely there is, and you will be eating old porridge. Is there not your own house to go to?" "How could we have a house, householder, when we have gone forth from the home life into homelessness? We are homeless, householder. We went to your house, but we received neither alms nor a polite refusal there. Instead, we received only abuse." "Come, dear Ratapala, let us go to the house." "Enough, householder, my meal for today is finished." "Then, dear Ratapala, consent to accept tomorrow's meal." The Venerable Ratapala consented in silence. Then, knowing that the Venerable Ratapala had consented, his father went back to his own house, where he had gold coins and bullion made into a large heap, and covered it with mats. Then he told the Venerable Ratapala's former wives, "Come, daughters-in-law, adorn yourselves with ornaments in the way Ratapala found you most dear and lovable." When night had ended, the Venerable Ratapala's father had good food of various kinds prepared in his own house, and had the time announced to the Venerable Ratapala. "It is time, dear Ratapala, the meal is ready." Then, it being morning, the Venerable Ratapala dressed, and taking his bowl and outer robe, he went to his own father's house and sat down on the seat made ready. Then his father had the pile of gold coins and bullion uncovered and said, "Dear Ratapala, this is your maternal fortune. Your paternal fortune is another, and your ancestral fortune is yet another. Dear Ratapala, you can enjoy the wealth and make merit. Come then, dear, abandon the training and return to the low life. Enjoy the wealth and make merit. Householder, if you would follow my advice, then have this pile of gold coins and bullion loaded on carts and carried away to be dumped midstream in the river Ganges. Why is that? Because, householder, on account of this there will arise for you sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair." Then the Venerable Ratapala's former wives clasped his feet and said to him, "What are they like, my lord's son, the nymphs for whose sake you lead the holy life?" "We do not lead the holy life for the sake of nymphs, sisters." "Our lord's son, Ratapala, calls us sisters," they cried, and right there they fainted. Then the Venerable Ratapala told his father, "Householder, if there is a meal to be given, then give it. Do not harass us." "Eat then, dear Ratapala, the meal is ready." Then with his own hands, the Venerable Ratapala's father served and satisfied him with the various kinds of good food. When the Venerable Ratapala had eaten, and had put his bowl aside, he stood up and uttered these stanzas. "Behold a puppet here, pranked out, a body built up out of sores, sick, an object for concern, where no stability abides. Behold a figure here, pranked out, with jewellery and earrings too, a skeleton wrapped up in skin, made attractive by its clothes. Its feet adorned with henna dye and powder smeared upon its face. It may beguile a fool, but not a seeker of the further shore. Its hair is dressed in eightfold plaits, and unguent smeared upon its eyes. It may beguile a fool, but not a seeker of the further shore. A filthy body well adorned, like a new-painted unguent pot. It may beguile a fool, but not a seeker of the further shore. The deer hunter set out the snare, but the deer did not spring the trap. We ate the bait and now depart, leaving the hunters to lament." After the Venerable Ratapala had stood up and uttered these stanzas, he went to King Karavya's Meghachira garden and sat down at the root of a tree for the day's abiding. Then King Karavya addressed his gamekeeper thus, "Good gamekeeper, tidy up the Meghachira garden so that we may go to the pleasure garden to see a pleasing spot." "Yes, sire," he replied. Now while he was tidying up the Meghachira garden, the gamekeeper saw the Venerable Ratapala seated at the root of a tree for the day's abiding. When he saw him, he went to King Karavya and told him, "Sire, the Meghachira garden has been tidied up. The clansman Ratapala is there, the son of the leading clan in this same Tulakatita, of whom you have always spoken highly. He is seated at the root of a tree for the day's abiding." "Then, good gamekeeper, enough of the pleasure garden for today. Now we shall go to pay respects to that master Ratapala." Then, saying, "Give away all the food that has been prepared there," King Karavya had a number of state carriages prepared, and mounting one of them, accompanied by the other carriages, he drove out from Tulakatita with the full pomp of royalty to see the Venerable Ratapala. He drove thus as far as the road was passable for carriages, and then he dismounted from his carriage and went forth on foot with a following of the most eminent officials to where the Venerable Ratapala was. He exchanged greetings with the Venerable Ratapala, and when this courteous and amiable talk was finished, He stood at one side and said, "Here is an elephant rug. Let Master Ratapala be seated on it." "There is no need, great king. Sit down. I am sitting on my own mat." King Karavya sat down on a seat made ready and said, "Master Ratapala, there are four kinds of loss. Because they have undergone these four kinds of loss, some people here shave off their hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness. What are the four?" "They are loss through aging, loss through sickness, loss of wealth, and loss of relatives." "And what is loss through aging?" "Here, Master Ratapala, someone is old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage. He considers thus, 'I am old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage. It is no longer easy for me to acquire unacquired wealth, or to augment wealth already acquired. Suppose I shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness.' Because he has undergone that loss through aging, he shaves off his hair and beard, puts on the yellow robe, and goes forth from the home life into homelessness. This is called loss through aging. But Master Ratapala is now still young, a black-haired young man endowed with the blessing of youth, in the prime of life. Master Ratapala has not undergone any loss through aging. What has he known or seen or heard that he has gone forth from the home life into homelessness? And what is loss through sickness? Here, Master Ratapala, someone is afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. He considers thus, 'I am afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. It is no longer easy for me to acquire unacquired wealth, or to augment wealth already acquired. Suppose I shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness.' Because he has undergone that loss through sickness, he goes forth from the home life into homelessness. This is called loss through sickness. But Master Ratapala now is free from illness and affliction. He possesses a good digestion that is neither too cool nor too warm, but medium. Master Ratapala has not undergone any loss through sickness. What has he known or seen or heard that he has gone forth from the home life into homelessness? And what is loss of wealth? Here, Master Ratapala, someone is rich, of great wealth, of great possessions. Gradually his wealth dwindles away. He considers thus, 'Formerly I was rich, of great wealth, of great possessions. Gradually my wealth has dwindled away. It is no longer easy for me to acquire unacquired wealth, or to augment wealth already acquired. Suppose I shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness.' Because he has undergone that loss of wealth, he goes forth from the home life into homelessness. This is called loss of wealth. But Master Ratapala is the son of the leading clan in this same Tulakatita. Master Ratapala has not undergone any loss of wealth. What has he known or seen or heard that he has gone forth from the home life into homelessness? And what is loss of relatives? Here, Master Ratapala, someone has many friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives. Gradually those relatives of his dwindle away. He considers thus, "Formerly I had many friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives. Gradually those relatives of mine have dwindled away. It is no longer easy for me to acquire unacquired wealth, or to augment wealth already acquired. Suppose I shave off my hair and beard, put on the yellow robe, and go forth from the home life into homelessness." Because he has undergone that loss of relatives, he goes forth from the home life into homelessness. This is called loss of relatives. But Master Ratapala has many friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives in this same Tulakatita. Master Ratapala has not undergone any loss of relatives. What has he known or seen or heard that he has gone forth from the home life into homelessness? Master Ratapala, these are the four kinds of loss. Because they have undergone these four kinds of loss, some people here shave off their hair and beard, put on the yellow robe and go forth from the home life into homelessness. Master Ratapala has not undergone any of these. What has he known or seen or heard that he has gone forth from the home life into homelessness? Great King, there are four summaries of the Dhamma that have been taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing them, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. What are the four? Life in any world is unstable. It is swept away. This is the first summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. Life in any world has no shelter and no protector. This is the second summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. Life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. This is the third summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. Life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving. This is the fourth summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. Great King, these are the four summaries of the Dhamma that have been taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing them, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. Master Ratapala said, life in any world is unstable, it is swept away. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, Great King? When you were 20 or 25 years old, were you an expert rider of elephants, an expert horseman, an expert charioteer, an expert archer, an expert swordsman, strong in thighs and arms, sturdy, capable in battle? When I was 20 or 25 years old, Master Ratapala, I was an expert rider of elephants, strong in thighs and arms, sturdy and capable in battle. Sometimes I wonder if I had supernormal power then. I do not see anyone who could equal me in strength. What do you think, Great King? Are you now as strong in thighs and arms, as sturdy and as capable in battle? No, Master Ratapala. Now I am old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage, my years have turned 80. Sometimes I mean to put my foot here, and I put my foot somewhere else. Great King, it was on account of this that the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, life in any world is unstable, it is swept away. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. It is wonderful, Master Ratapala. It is marvellous how well that has been expressed by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Life in any world is unstable, it is swept away. It is indeed so. Master Ratapala, there exist in this court elephant troops and cavalry and chariot troops and infantry, which will serve to subdue any threats to us. Now Master Ratapala said, life in any world has no shelter and no protector. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, Great King? Do you have any chronic ailment? I have a chronic wind ailment, Master Ratapala. Sometimes my friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives, stand around me thinking, now King Karavya is about to die. Now King Karavya is about to die. What do you think, great king? Can you command your friends and companions, your kinsmen and relatives? Come, my good friends and companions, my kinsmen and relatives, all of you present, share this painful feeling so that I may feel less pain? Or do you have to feel that pain yourself alone? I cannot command my friends and companions, my kinsmen and relatives thus, Master Artapala. I have to feel that pain alone. Great King, it was on account of this that the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, Life in any world has no shelter and no protector. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. It is wonderful, Master Artapala, it is marvellous how well that has been expressed by the Blessed One, who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Life in any world has no shelter and no protector. It is indeed so. Master Artapala, there exist in this court abundant gold coins and bullion stored away in vaults and lofts. Now Master Artapala said, Life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, great king? You now enjoy yourself provided and endowed with the five cords of sensual pleasures, but will you be able to have it of the life to come? Let me likewise enjoy myself provided and endowed with these same five cords of sensual pleasures, or will others take over this property, while you will have to pass on according to your actions? I cannot have it thus of the life to come, Master Artapala. On the contrary, others will take over this property, while I shall have to pass on according to my actions. Great King, it was on account of this that the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, Life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. It is wonderful, Master Artapala. It is marvellous how well that has been expressed by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. It is indeed so. Now Master Artapala said, Life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, great king? Do you reign over the rich Kuru country? Yes, Master Artapala, I do. What do you think, great king? Suppose a trustworthy and reliable man came to you from the east and said, Please know, great king, that I have come from the east, and there I saw a large country, powerful and rich, very populous and crowded with people. There are plenty of elephant troops there, plenty of cavalry, chariot troops and infantry. There is plenty of ivory there, and plenty of gold coins and bullion, both unworked and worked, and plenty of women for wives. With your present forces, you can conquer it. Conquer it then, great king. What would you do? We would conquer it and reign over it, Master Artapala. What do you think, great king? Suppose a trustworthy and reliable man came to you from the west, from the north, from the south, from across the sea, and said, Please know, great king, that I have come from across the sea, and there I saw a large country, powerful and rich. Conquer it then, great king. What would you do? We would conquer it too, and reign over it, Master Artapala. Great king, it was on account of this that the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, Life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. It is wonderful, Master Artapala. It is marvellous how well that has been expressed by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving. It is indeed so. This is what the Venerable Ratapala said. And having said that, he said further, I see men wealthy in the world who yet from ignorance give not their gathered wealth. Greedily they hoard away their riches, longing still for further sensual pleasures. A king who has conquered the earth by force and rules over the land, the ocean bounds, is yet unsated with the seas near shore, and hungers for its further shore as well. Most other people too, not just a king, encounter death with craving unabated. With plans still incomplete, they leave the corpse. Desires remain unsated in the world. His relatives lament and rend their hair, crying, Ah me, alas, our love is dead. They bear away the body wrapped in shrouds to place it on a pyre and burn it there. Clad in a shroud, he leaves his wealth behind. Prodded with stakes, he burns upon the fire, and as he dies, no relatives or friends can offer him shelter and refuge here. While his heirs take over his wealth, this being must pass on according to his actions, and as he dies, nothing can follow him, not child, nor wife, nor wealth, nor royal estate. Longevity is not acquired with wealth, nor can prosperity banish old age. Short is this life, as all the sages say. Eternity it knows not, only change. The rich and poor alike shall feel death's touch, the fool and sage as well shall feel it too. But while the fool lies stricken by his folly, no sage will ever tremble at the touch. Better is wisdom here than any wealth, since by wisdom one gains the final goal. For people, through ignorance, do evil deeds, while failing to reach the goal from life to life. As one goes to the womb and the next world, renewing the successive round of births, another of little wisdom, trusting him, goes also to the womb and the next world. Just as a robber caught in burglary is made to suffer for his evil deed, so people after death in the next world are made to suffer for their evil deeds. Sensual pleasures, varied, sweet, delightful, in many different ways disturb the mind. Seeing the danger in these sensual ties, I chose to lead the homeless life, O King. As fruits fall from the tree, so people too, both young and old, fall when this body breaks. Seeing this too, O King, I have gone forth. Better is the recluse's life assured.